Thank you, dear Fadi, for agreeing to speak with me about the changing nature of strategic philanthropy in the Middle East and beyond, including, of course, the groundbreaking work of Community Jameel, which, as you know, I'm a big fan of. This interview is part of a brief series of conversations that I'm hosting on behalf of the Center for Strategic Philanthropy at the University of Cambridge. And I'm delighted that you've agreed to take part in it. So thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting
Jameel, me. The Deputy President and Vice Chairman of Abdel Latif Jameel, which is a diversified family-owned business founded, I believe, over 75 years ago in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, by the late Abdel Latif Jameel, Allah yarhamhu. And Abdel Latif Jameel really is one of the region's greatest business success stories. What began as a relatively small trading house is now an 11,000 plus person strong with presence in over 30 countries on six continents. However, what is, if you don't mind me saying so, even more impressive about the Jameel family is its deep and authentic commitment to impact-oriented strategic philanthropy through its namesake foundation, Community Jameel, which was established in 2003, I believe, and is dedicated to advancing social and economic sustainability in the Middle East and around the world. Fadi is the Vice Chairman of Community Jameel and is also the Chairman and Founder of Art Jameel, which is
Jameel Families
Art and Culture Program, dedicated to fostering contemporary art and supporting creative entrepreneurship in the Middle East, North Africa, and
worldwide.
Marhaba, Fadi.
Ya hala sahla.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about Community Jameel, including its basic philosophy and the things that it's most focused on today? Because I think it's a fascinating example of a family and a family business from a region I call home, taking a truly innovative approach to strategic and perhaps corporate philanthropy.
Well, I mean, in a nutshell, I think our philosophy is supporting a culture of evidence-based policy and building a research ecosystem. So everything we do is really based on that philosophy of evidence, whether we're working with institutions or working with universities or tackling a certain issue. We have to see it in a very scientific approach. This is the way we like to take things. This is how we find it the most productive in all our endeavors and businesses.
And you founded Art Jameel. Why did you choose to put your energies into art and culture specifically? And what advice would you give to aspiring philanthropists from emerging markets who are also interested in supporting initiatives in this area?
Well, I mean, Art Jameel, we started really with supporting others, other organizations or museums, either setting up an endowment for them or by grants, or working very closely with them in the region and abroad. Only recently, we decided to do our own thing, which is to set up our own center for the arts. And that started in Dubai 2 years ago. And we have a center coming up in Jeddah, inshallah, which is a little different than the one in Dubai, and I'll explain. Dubai was really a government grant for the land, which was very, very generous from the Dubai government and His Highness. And we took that commitment and built it and wanted to have our own programming and our own organization in that region. Of course, Dubai is very developed compared to other parts of the world. Jeddah, our center, which has been delayed because of the pandemic, but will open next year, will be a series of art galleries, studios, an independent cinema, a comedy club, and as well as our own center. So it's really a hub for creativity, and it's called Hai as a neighborhood. So we're very excited about that. What I would recommend for others is not to do the mistakes that we did. I think it's very important to set up some sort of a trust or an endowment, however small that endowment is, however meager it is to start with. It's important to have and institutionalize that for the future. I'm sure families would love to have things last for a very long time. That longevity is important. Maybe it's difficult to set up a foundation in the Middle East, but you can set up an endowment and build on that endowment. So at least you have that continuity. That's very important. Apart from that, if you don't want to set up an endowment or a trust, you can support the local art scene. It's important to have that as part of an economy. It's important to have the youth pivot a little bit, a different thought process, letting them or allowing them to, display their works or talk about their works or work in various and different mediums. It's very important for an economy, for the creative economy and beyond.
I think that's absolutely right. I totally agree. You know, despite the fact that I unfortunately have virtually no artistic abilities, I've always said that, you know, true innovation, really, when you look at, history, true innovation happened at the intersection of humanities and sciences. And so if we're not taking the humanities and arts more specifically seriously and seeing it as fundamental as opposed to just ornamental, then we're just not going to have a chance of building true innovation and knowledge economies. So I think it's fantastic that you have decided to focus on the arts more broadly as one of your key themes in
absolutely community. Absolutely. And then you're seeing, and just to add to that, you're seeing in the region the public sector really enforcing and investing in that sector. So you need to complete the circle. The private sector needs to play its part in various ways, or else it becomes a little slow. Once everybody is on board, then you can see a change in culture, a richness in culture. That is important for everybody, especially these days, you know.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah. What are some of the consistent principles that guide your philanthropic work across all of the different areas that you and your family are engaged in? Are there some golden rules that govern your approach to philanthropy or the approach of Community Jamil?
We are reevaluating what's important for us today. Whether we're combating, for example, food-borne pathogens, or we're addressing inequalities for women, or whether we're working with poverty alleviation, we're starting to realize something important, that climate and carbon consideration should be taken at hand, especially in our region, where it will be affected the most. You know, I can't stress that more than anything. So whether we work with philanthropy or whether we work in business, in our own business, we have to map out that consideration and apply it. It's coming. So you want to survive in business. You want your businesses to flourish. You have to take that into consideration. Extremely, extremely important. And that's going to be our pivot towards the climate goals and issues. And, you know, and this will be policy, you know, whatever happens in the US elections, whatever happens in the Paris Agreement is happening, you know, and investors and clients and companies are demanding this, you know, from public companies, from funds, you know, sovereign wealth funds are demanding it. So this will change very strongly, and many countries are taking the lead. But the, again, the private sector should take that as a priority for their business. So you can have a carbon consideration in your businesses, in your funds, and make market returns. Absolutely. So that's a positive, and this is where you can have you know, business and philanthropy work together. That's very viable, I think.
So let me go a little bit further on the point of business. Obviously, you've achieved a lot in both business and as a philanthropist, and I've always been interested in that overlap right between those disciplines. Are you of the belief that one can apply business investment and entrepreneurial principles to philanthropic work, and vice versa? What lessons can business learn from the philanthropic sector? Especially, as you've just said, more and more businesses are looking to redefine their raison d'être through a social lens.
Yes. Well, I mean, really, what I said before, if you look at philanthropic work today, whether it's in policy or in you know, scalable evidence work, it's all headed towards the effects of climate and how to mitigate that, and that gets transferred to the business world. It gets transferred to everything you do in the business world, whether it's in the automotive business like us, or in the renewable business, or cement business, or oil and gas business. It all affects everything we do. So I urge people to look at the policies being made by organizations with the evidence that's there. And see the possibilities of what can be done. You know, there's a lot of big private families in Europe, in the US, in Southeast Asia that are taking advantage of this, and we should be the ones taking most advantage of it, because we are the ones who are going to be affected by it. You know, there's going to be a big revolution in the way we do agriculture and the yields from agriculture in the future. Water for affordability is another aspect that we look at very, very seriously. And there's an opportunity that lies there. So looking at the new technologies, looking at these fields from a very different lens, I think can yield a lot of opportunity. You know, and that's something we have to look at.
Absolutely. And do you think that the business community in the Middle East and North Africa in general is doing enough to address the region's social and economic challenges? And how can we, in your view, make it easier for businesses, government, and private philanthropists to really work together in partnership? Towards the same goals? You know, a lot is being discussed around in various circles around the importance of a blended finance and blended capital.
Yes,
we can perhaps use one capital to de-risk another, and the role that philanthropic capital can have to perhaps try and de-risk some private business investments into social causes. How can we help that movement accelerate, I guess, in the Middle East and North Africa? Any ideas?
If you're talking about a blended sort of finance, if that's what you mean, to help alleviate or bring infrastructure or projects to the region, I mean, your first question is, yes, there are government departments which are very serious, for example, in Saudi or Morocco or in the UAE, that are very serious about these issues. And a lot of the banks are quite serious about these issues. The private sector, there's some sprouts of hope. Sometimes, and I must mention that there is a little bit of indifference. It's only, you know, business as usual, but that's the risk. The risk is not what you don't, it's what if you don't do it, you know, this is the risk. So I'll give you an example. You know, I've been working on a project in Kenya for water desalination for 2 years. And that's partly a blended finance and a blended distribution. You know, what the pricing you do for you know, industry is very different than the pricing you do for homes and that sort of thing. But we work with banks, institutions that help and encourage that sort of investment. And also in Egypt is another example, at least for our own operations in terms of water and how important that that sector will be or is. Yes, there is huge opportunity. There still is a lot of risk, and how to mitigate that risk is quite difficult if you're talking about, you know, currency risk or country risk. But the advantage is you're very close to this region, and relatively speaking, you understand that culture, you understand that market, so you have a huge advantage over the others. And the business out of it can be quite enticing, to be honest. You know, so I encourage people to look at this from a project by project basis. Some things are not viable and are very difficult, and the issues are being tackled and trying to find what works. But it's working, I think. Not as much as we'd like to see, but it's working. We are looking into projects like this in the region, and we are seeing a huge benefit both socially and business wise.
Yeah. No, that's great. I would definitely agree with you that I think the trend is in the right direction, but there still are, you know, I think a fairly large community that feel that there still is a trade-off, right? That yes. Between purpose and profit, or between positive social impact and perhaps serving the shareholder. Yes. But I think the trend is in the right direction. I think the objective is working together to see how we could perhaps accelerate that trend. Because the region simply will not be able to, and like many regions of the world, will not be able to address their challenges, many of which are systemic, without the active role of business engaging alongside philanthropic capital and, of course, government capital to address those challenges.
Absolutely. And one thing I'd like to add is, you know, in terms of philanthropy, if you have a philanthropic division or a philanthropic side, I think you should go into the green sector as a business. You know, there's a lot of business that can be done in the green sector, which is very, very interesting, which is happening in the region. Green technology, green industry across the board is gaining a lot of momentum, and we have to catch up. You know, as private groups, private families, I'm talking about only private families, we have to catch up with that, because it's instrumental in the next 20 to 30 years for survival. You know, let's be honest here. So that has to be encouraged, and I'm trying to encourage this with other families to join.
Yeah. So no interview, I guess, is complete without mention of the C word. With respect to COVID and what COVID has created, but also might leave us, will that, do you think, adapt or change any of the work that you do at Community Jameel in terms of focus areas or perhaps certain priority areas? And then more generally, how do you see COVID might impact the role that philanthropy plays in our region and more broadly, if at all?
Well, it's not wrong to say that we are in the age of pandemics. This is has been very tough on businesses and on people across the world. I mean, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced before. From what we are doing now, we have a lab at Imperial College that works with pandemics. Actually, it was started 4 or 5 months just before the COVID-19 episode started. And that was more towards mapping pandemics across the world and fighting it. So we have increased our commitment to that, and because it's very, very important. It obviously has changed how things work in the Middle East, how we meet, how we buy products, how we sell products. We've experienced that, and it's going to be a way of life for some time, and things might not come back to definitely how it was. But we have to be ready, you know, we have to be ready now, because it's a little bleak today, but if we prepare for something else, then we can continue and fight it in a better and more informed way. You know, I mean, compared to other, I'm not an expert, but compared to other diseases, this disease is as devastating as it is quite benign. It's quite benign. You know, I mean, thank God it hasn't, reached our livestock. It hasn't done more harm than it already has. You know, we have to be ready from a private and public sector and work together by all means.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. As always, a pleasure to hear from you, dear Fadi. I strongly believe there is so much inspiration the philanthropic community and business community can learn from the approaches that your family has taken to communicating your strong values and really putting these into practice transparently and strategically. My warmest regards to the family, and I very much look forward to connecting again in person in the near future, inshallah. Thanks again.
Badr, thank you so much, and thank you for the interview. And I'm really humbled by all this. And really, our goals are really to encourage others so that we work together. This is our goals, and I look forward to that within our region. And I look forward to working with you very closely. And thank you again.
Thank you so much.